This is it. Podcast 800, the Bob Davis Podcast. And every now and then we hit these milestones. And so I'm going to talk extemporaneously, what I call an easy talker, about podcasting, about my experience, and about Podcast 800, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, by the time you hear this podcast, unless it's summer, like considerably after January of 2018, or January of 2019, sorry, when I'm doing the podcast, it's really cold and it's below zero. And when that happens, systems start to break down. So what happens? Water heaters, pipes, stuff breaks in the house, stuff breaks outside the house, furnaces go down, you have all kinds of problems because the systems are running full blast. So if there's any weakness or any problems, it's going to blow when it's really cold. It has happened to me. Actually, it's happened to me twice with a water heater and also with the actual furnace, because when it comes to keeping these systems working right, you want someone who has plenty of experience, plumbing, heating experience, air conditioning experience, and so forth, because you want reliable service. And for many podcasts, that has been Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. You call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Inver Grove, Deep Haven, Burnsville, Maple Grove. They can get out all over the metropolitan area, as well as West St. Paul, East St. Paul, St. Paul, Minneapolis, etc. Ryan goes back four generations in St. Paul's Frogtown. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems all over town. Residential and business, Ryan Plumbing and Heating, because when you want reliable service, you want Ryan Plumbing and Heating. And of course, Ryan customers get priority. So remember, cold weather, think Ryan Plumbing and Heating if this stuff blows. And it probably will. Yeah, Podcast 800. So when I first started podcasting, I thought I'm going to celebrate every single time I hit a milestone, like 100, 200, 300, 400. And what ends up happening quickly is that seems rather silly. So I celebrated podcast 500 with kind of a retrospective. And so the next milestone, the next real milestone for the Bob Davis Podcast is going to be podcast 1000, but it is podcast 800, which is kind of a big deal, because after you've done 800 podcasts, as I have often talked about, you've done almost every crazy idea that you ever had with podcasting, and you're kind of left with, okay, now what? Now, that's never been a problem for me, so creating content has never been a problem for me. And I can sit down here sometimes without even really looking at any headlines and just talk about what's on my mind. And I've actually found that I like doing that more than I used to. So I went through a couple of different things. When I started the podcast, I would just open the mic and talk. And then I found that to be difficult. And so then I started into this process of writing the podcasts and so forth. And some of the great podcasts that I did, whether with the Bonnie and Clyde one comes to mind, where I spent weeks researching and finding audio for that podcast. And it was, that was like podcast 9, as I recall. I think it was podcast 9. And then later, I was so fascinated with the whole Public Enemy thing that I decided to go on the back roads to Chicago the way John Dillinger would have. And that was quite an interesting podcast and a great experience. And then I got into this whole travel thing, got Mobile Podcast Command, and decided that I was going to travel around the country, and spent a lot of money traveling around the country, got some great podcasts. And I know that that's something I'm going to do more of, and probably someday most of this whole travel thing is just still deeply fascinating to me as a content creator. Never had a problem creating content in terms of podcasting, but I want to talk about a little bit about podcasting's growth, because at my business networking meetings and to people I know that are interested, I talk about the growth of podcasting, and I really don't think people understand the scope of the growth of this medium and this platform. which is unique from the kinds of platforms that are created as aggregators, whether it's Podcast One or The Blaze or any of these platforms that aggregate podcasts and aggregate quote-unquote talk stars, which really are kind of creating a new crust of talk radio. I'm talking about a large number of people who are just independent content creators doing podcasts. The number of podcasts, when I started podcasting, was probably less than 100,000. And at that time, Adam Carolla was, when you talked about podcasts, that's who people said, oh, Adam Carolla. That's all people knew. There were pretty much two top podcasters, Adam Carolla, and I think the most downloaded guy at that time was Leo Laporte, who does This Week in Tech. And I think it's This Week in Tech. And Leo's podcast was, at that time, the most downloaded. I noticed the other day that Adam Carolla has now become the most downloaded podcast in history. So when those guys started, there were maybe 100 podcasts, and now there are probably over 500,000 podcasts of varying qualities and varying audience sizes. And so we now have the proto bio system for an industry, which is still in its infancy, and there are a lot of problems associated with podcasting as kind of a hybrid of social media and digital advertising and broadcasting. So it kind of crosses. If you consider podcasting as a circle, and digital advertising as a circle, and social media as a circle, broadcasting as a circle, and in particular talk, not necessarily music radio, because then for music radio you have Spotify and you have, you know, Pandora as music services, and you have a proliferation of online radio stations as well, which are not broadcast, which are also proliferating. That's one circle, and that all kind of comes together, and podcasting crosses all those lines. So this is a very difficult business to advertise. It's a very difficult business to define, and it's a very difficult business for us podcasters who are in business to define for our clients. You know, I spend most of my time trying to figure out how to get more listeners. I spend most of my time trying to figure out how to digitally market what I'm doing so that I create more value for my clients. And I spend most of my time thinking about content. You know, I don't think about, hey, I want to aggregate and get five other podcasters and build a site or get on a big aggregated site or anything else, because we're in all those places. You know, we're on Stitcher, we're on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Google Play, Spotify, you know, and you know, that whole tag that I do at the end of the podcast where I tell people how to get the podcast. So that's what I do. And that's the reason that I wanted to be on the air when I was in radio and not in management, because when I got to a certain point in my career as a manager in radio, I didn't want to be in an office telling people what to do on the air. I wanted to just be on the air. So what's great about podcasting from a radio guy perspective is you could just do your podcast. The struggle is, how do you create a world-class podcast that people are aware of? And that's a whole different challenge, which I'm not going to get into detail on, because frankly, a lot of it is proprietary to things that I have learned that I don't really want to share with the rest of the world. But you spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to compete with the aggregators. And by aggregators, I mean Podcast One or, you know, Blog Talk Radio, which I'm part of, and Stitcher.com, which I'm part of, and TuneIn, which I'm part of, and Google Play, and so forth. What they're doing is they're creating systems that will bring people in to get podcasts, or will create a website that is then marketable for podcasts. And I've never really understood the application other than business, because I don't necessarily need them to put my podcast up on iTunes or to make it available on my website for people to listen to. I get what they do, and I get that they can help podcasters get more listeners and stuff, but they tend to want to find people who are famous already and help them do a podcast. And I don't believe in that model. I know it produces some very successful podcasts, but I think that it should that podcasting should still be organic, that people who have never sat in front of a microphone before and have something to say, learn the process of how to say something, and don't become swayed by the commercial people that tell you how to do podcasts. I can't stand that, because we all have to find our own way, and we all have to find our own voice. And the best writers don't know the rules, and the best talent don't know the rules, because they don't know any better. So they do stuff that's fresh and different and unique, and more power to them. Don't forget, printing needs for the Bob Davis podcasts are handled by Cartridge World in Maple Grove. They can save you up to 30% on your cartridges compared to the big box stores, which for me is manna from heaven. Cartridge World cartridges are guaranteed to perform as good as new. Mine are better than new. I can say it, they can't, but I think they're better than new. Free delivery on qualifying orders. So where are they? Cartridge World in Maple Grove off of Weaver Lake Road between Dairy Queen and Subway. Ask for Jason at 763-420-6632. 763-420-6632. I asked Jason the other day, what about people listening to the Bob Davis podcast in Chicago or, you know, LA or Ohio or, you know, Wisconsin, whatever? He said, you know, we can mail them their stuff, no problem. Just contact us at 763-420-6632, Cartridge World, or click on that awesome Cartridge World banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. And again, I don't want to spend my 800th podcast busting on aggregation services, because most people don't know what I'm talking about. You know, I'm talking about the services like Podcast One that have thousands of podcasts up, and you go and you search for podcasts that way. You know, you can find the Bob Davis podcast by just doing a search from anywhere. Because I'm hosting my own podcast at my own website, and that's, you know, one of the things that makes what I do substantially different. And I've learned that the website, thebobdavispodcast.com, as a piece of real estate on the internet is very valuable. And I didn't know that when I started. In fact, you know, when I put my site up, I had to write a little something about each podcast, and I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't understand SEO. I didn't understand how to write for SEO. I didn't understand how to blog. I hated blogs. And now this podcast page is really a blog page as well. So each podcast is, you know, resident audio data, but it's also a resident blog with outbound links. So, you know, when you're listening to a Bob Davis podcast and you go to thebobdavispodcast.com, there are pretty extensively researched links to every one of those stories. So if I'm doing something on the pole shift, if you go to the blog and you click on the hypertext stuff, you know, you're going to go to all the places that I went to find the information that I found, and you can read more about it. And a lot of people don't know that. In fact, I've seen people comment about something and say, I'll give you an example. My friend Margaret, you know, I was talking about Donald Trump's mentor, who was a guy by the name of Roy Cohn, probably one of the most evil human beings that has ever lived, at least in American politics. Just a horrible person. Almost everyone agrees that he was a horrible person. And he was Trump's mentor. And Trump, he was a Trump's attorney for many years. He was the counsel or the chief interrogator for the Army McCarthy hearings, and really destroyed a lot of people. And I talked about that in the podcast, and Margaret thought I was talking about Michael Cohn. And I was like, no, I'm talking about Roy Cohn. Roy Cohn spelled C-O-H-N, Michael Cohn spelled C-O-H-E-N. I put a link into the blog to the Vanity Fair article about Roy Cohn and his relationship with Donald Trump going back 30 years. Cohn died many years ago. And if she'd clicked on that link, she would have known that it was about Roy Cohn. That's what I'm saying, is that blog is now chock full of information on almost any topic that I talk about. So if I do a podcast about the economy, I'm going to put all of the data that I can find into the blog. I didn't start doing that, and it's additional work, but it's really a resource for people who listen to the podcast, and I'm really proud of that, and I think that's one of the cool things that's changed about the podcast. But one of the things I wanted to talk about in this podcast, because I think it's really key, and it does involve politics. Notwithstanding the fact that I do podcasts about other things, whether it's travel or yoga, and the travel stuff tends to be about the places I've gone and the experience that you have when you're traveling, which is really the wonder of how people live and how big this country is and how big the states are and how different these different places are and how different the people are. Really, some places, people in California just look different from the people in Minnesota. People in Florida look different from the people in Illinois, let's say. And that's probably a bit of an exaggeration. And I'm not saying they look like aliens or anything. It's just they have a different look. And the experience that you have from travel, and I've talked about it often, is a completely different experience when you're stuck in your hometown, like Minneapolis and St. Paul, and you got to come up with topics to talk about, whether it's local or reading the national news or commenting on stuff that is interesting to you. It's a different experience. So I do podcasts about different things, and I probably should work harder to do more about different things. But frankly, what I'm really concentrating on right now is the business side of this business, which is not so much worrying about content, but it is focusing on building this as a business. And it is hard. It's very difficult. It's frustrating. It's very hard to get people as clients to understand how to advertise in any digital arena. And it's something that a lot of my digital, advertising buddies encounter all the time, where people stop and they start their advertising and they don't understand it. And I've had to adjust my pricing and a billion other things because I am networking with small business people, and it's really fulfilling. It's great. And so I'm focusing a lot on that. And I don't want to talk about that all the time because A, I don't want to tell tales out of school, and B, I'm pretty much keeping that close to the vest. I don't really want people to know what I'm doing with business networking because it's so important for my personal growth and for the growth of the BobDavisPodcast.com as a business. So I don't really want to talk about that. So what I'm doing is, a lot of times you hear me doing these just me talking podcasts, which some people really like. I kind of chafe at it because for me, sometimes I have to come down here and pull audio or different kinds of music or different kinds of whatever to make the podcast interesting. I am itching, I'm literally chomping at the bit to get out. But really what I'm focused on now is finding a sponsor for the truck so the truck can actually be buyant in terms of money when it goes out, because fuel is expensive and it's expensive to wander around the country. You can't do it all the time. I follow all these people who are doing this RV thing where they're either doing van life or they're buying RVs and they're doing media. So they have a Vimeo channel and they have an Instagram channel and they have Facebook and they put video up and they talk about where they are. And for most of the people doing the RV thing, they're just driving around the country and going to different places and talking about it. And I learned a long time ago and this is just me, so I don't know what it's like for them, but I learned a long time ago, when you go out and you're traveling and the world is your oyster, so you've got a full bank account and you can go anywhere you want, then what? So if I won the lottery tomorrow, right, and I could buy a Prevost coach and have it custom made to exact specifications for what I want, and there was no fiscal requirement and there was no creative requirement in terms of what I'm doing, I don't know that it would be fulfilling, because you have to economize in terms of fuel, you have to economize in terms of your time, and you need a goal when you travel. So all these people doing this RV thing, they're just out driving around. And it's interesting because they kind of drop off after a while. I've noticed a couple people that kind of drop off after a while. They start to really struggle with content because there doesn't seem to be a goal to what you're doing. So when I travel, I have to have a mission. There has to be a mission. So in the first day, I got to get here because I'm going to go do this. And then the second day, I'm going to go do this. And the third day, I'm going to do that. And, you know, it's a plan. And so plans were made to be thrown away. And really, the best travel is in the gray between the goals. But you have to have a general plan in order to get something out of it. So I'm just avoiding a situation where I'm going to get in the truck and drive at random, because I think that that's going to be some chaotic search for the truth, because that's not what happens. What happens is you start to struggle because you realize you're running out of money and you don't know where you're going. And that was my trip when I went to Florida, and I was looking for the best beach in the country. And I was like, I'm going to go down to the Keys and, you know, this is going to be great. And that was a terrible trip because I just kept wandering. You know, once I got around to the West Coast side and I started going up through the Gulf Coast, it was okay, but I hadn't really planned the trip. So where do you stop? You know, if you want to spend a couple days in Galveston, where do you go? Where do you go if you want to boondock, which is basically just pull your truck up and camp on the beach without any electricity or anything, unless you can generate your own. Where do you go in Texas to do that? You know, there are places along that peninsula by Galveston where you can do that. Where are they? And what's the story? And am I going to be able to drive my truck out there without it getting stuck and so on? Those are questions that are part of it. And if you don't kind of have a plan, you get depressed. And then, you know, you have to struggle with it. The other thing is I was still doing that radio show, that syndicated radio show. So I had to stop every, you know, Wednesday or Thursday and put this whole 1 hour show together while I was in the truck. And, you know, you're bent over, you know, the mobile podcast demand is an ambulance, and it's okay, but it is not a camper. And so you can't ever stand up straight in it. It's a big truck ambulance, but it's not the kind that you can stand up. The ceilings are about 5'6", and I'm 5'11", so I'm bent over the whole time. And it's definitely a challenge. I mean, I got bruises all over me from banging into things, and after a while, it gets to be hard. So travel and permanent travel in that thing, you know, is not going to work. But then I thought, well, I'll just get an RV. And then I thought, but if I go out in an RV, so if I move out of my apartment and go out in an RV and drive around the country and do podcasts, then what? And so what I'm doing now is kind of thinking through all those things. So that's why you hear me doing so many podcasts that are just me talking, because I'm just thinking, what's my plan in 2019, and then what's my plan going to be in 2020? Obviously, there's a big presidential election, but I'm going to sort of close Podcast 800 with a quick conversation about the media environment and politics a little bit, because obviously, I cut my teeth on the air. Well, I cut my teeth on the air as an air performer, as a DJ years ago, but I really cut my teeth in talk radio as a talk show host, and it was very political because I was on the air for maybe 8 months before 9/11, and after 9/11, everything became political. And before that, you could do stuff that wasn't political, and it was fine, but after that, everybody just expected that constantly, and we kind of lapsed into this kind of news and politics kind of approach and never came out of it. And I think that probably hurt talk radio in the long run. And I think that same thing has a real danger to hurt digitally delivered audio, particularly spoken word audio on the internet, because so many people are doing political content and it's based on the headlines, and there's so many people pounding on the podium and telling you what to think. And that is so 2000. That is so 1997 talk radio. And they do it on YouTube all the time. And you see a lot of podcasters doing that. And now you are seeing a lot of so-called icons of both sides of the political spectrum. Don't get me started about the false political spectrum, who are telling everyone what they should be thinking. And it's really pronounced on the right. It's really pronounced with Republicans and so-called Republicans, or people who are now, the big thing is to attack the Republicans and attack Trump and somehow burnish your credentials as an objectivist, or not an objectivist, but an objective voice, because, hey, this guy's a conservative and he's criticizing Trump. And what I'm trying to do is practice detachment by refusing to criticize beyond a couple of things every now and then. By being willing to give credit where credit is due, which is not always easy, and by not picking, by not taking the perspective that you have to be an anti-Trumper in order to get anyone to hear your political message is. I find now, after 800 podcasts, that I'm more interested in society than I am in politics. So what I'm looking for is those little cues about what this means for society. And what I find myself doing more often than not is asking questions and preferring not to answer them. I mean, I can certainly, and I'll give you an example, podcast 798, talking about capitalism versus socialism, that the younger people in this country actually show signs of, in large numbers, preferring so-called democratic socialism. And what I said was, you know, if you're a capitalist, and if you believe that the United States should have a social and economic system based on capitalism and free markets, you'd better come up with some arguments to support that, because you're going to be in the thick of the biggest fight of your life in 2020, because most of the candidates on the Democrat side are going to be, I would hesitate to call them progressive, but I don't want to go back down that rabbit hole, you know. And I said in that podcast, and I'm not going to make the arguments. I'm not going to make the arguments for you. I'm not going to make the economic arguments. You know, I'm not going to make the constitutional arguments, and I'm not going to make the social arguments, because you have to, meaning the listeners who care about capitalism, you need to come up with your own arguments. And too many people in the media are too busy coming at you from a piece of the pie. I inhabit this piece of the pie, and this is what I think, and I'm going to convince you that this is true. And I think that's dangerous. I think it's dangerous to the podcaster, not necessarily dangerous to the country, because I don't know that anybody even listens to these people. But I think it's dangerous to the person who is employed by the Mercers, or employed by contributions from the Freedom Foundation, or employed by contributions from Sheldon Adelson and the Koch brothers, let's say, where they have provided the financial means for a lot of these commentators to function. Whereas when we were on the radio, we were supported by advertising. And so the radio station's product overall, where you might have a radio host that did comedy, and then you might have a radio host who had a team show with another guy, and they did society and politics, and then you might have a host that did more sports content. And overall, that was supported by advertising. Morphed into, you know, you need to think this way, and you need to, we better do this, or this is going to happen. And it's now become an absurdity where people now in podcasting are pounding the podium and kicking the mic stand and screaming at people, telling them what they have to do. And what's happening is the people that want to hear that, they're downloading those podcasts and they're not listening to anything else. So they're getting confirmation bias, and it contributes to this world where we live in our own environment, and we listen only to the people that we agree with. And I think that's I don't know what to do about it. I mean, I think that's going to continue. I think that's a feature of digital. And I don't think that's necessarily going to change, but I refuse to do it. And I don't know what's going to happen to my podcast, but I find that when I don't talk about those things, those podcasts actually now do much better than the political podcasts because people are sick and tired of trying to persuade them. And I would just say, if you're listening to this podcast and you're like, well, what kind of stuff do you talk about? I'm not trying to persuade people anymore. Here's the best way I can say this. I am willing to accept whatever happens. Because what I've learned is when you advocate, people get elected and they do things. And once it goes through the filter of Congress or our government or the world, things turn out a lot different than what you thought they were going to turn out. And so you're basically confronted with being responsible for the things that you advocate for. And I think it's better from the perspective of what I'm doing to sit back and go, you know what? This isn't my fight. This is your fight. Here's what I know about this thing. Here's what I know about the poll shift. Here's what I know about gun control. Here's what I know about taxes. Here's what I know about what happened today. What you do with this information is up to you. And if you decide to go that way, then you go that way. If you decide to go this way, then you go that way or this way. I'm not going to attack people who go one way or the other anymore. And that's because that's all you get in politics now is people who are insistent that you do. Everyone's arguing to have their point of view carried out. And the problem is, even when they carry out your point of view, it's not what you thought it was going to be. So in the next 200 podcasts leading up to podcast 1000, hopefully we'll get to do a little travel with objectives, and my travel podcast will be more focused and a little bit different. And a good example would be to talk about when I went to my grandfather's hometown of Gloucester, Ohio, and I was there and I just kind of popped off with some observations because I was tired and I really didn't know what I wanted to do there. And I thought afterwards, I really should have gone down to Ohio University at Athens and found a couple professors and talked about the problems with these mining towns and why some towns in Ohio are doing better than others and try to find some people to talk to. By the way, the people there would not talk to me. It was a very tight, very closed mouth in that region, and they've always been that way. So when I travel again, I think rather than just driving through towns willy-nilly and having this feeling of passing through towns, I'm passing through a lot of towns. This is great. I might have an opportunity to stop and add to the general discourse a little bit by talking to some people, not because they're quirky or anything else, but because I want to know. And you can't know it until you've been through a few of these towns, especially if it's something that's close to the heart, like this town in Ohio, which is a coal mining town. If it's close to the heart, you kind of have to go a preparatory visit. So this is the whole thing about having a purpose for travel instead of just going willy-nilly. So I'm going to work on that in 2019 and hopefully get things better running by 2020. So then there's a lot to talk about in 2020 that we'll be getting to. So podcast 1000, on the road to podcast 1000 here in podcast 800. This is kind of the state of the podcast business podcast, which I would say the state of the podcast business is really great as a proto-ecosystem, which is a whole new and really positive development, podcasting. Don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating for when it blows because it's cold. That's when you're going to have problems with all of your systems. So Ryan can get all over the Minneapolis and St. Paul Metro. Call them at 651-224-4771 on the east side of the river in Minneapolis. On the west side of the river, call 612-927-6488. Ryan goes back four generations in St. Paul. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning, residential and business. They've been around for a long time and they are good. Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. So, what's interesting about these podcasts is I don't like 1.5 hour long podcasts. And so I always think I've got all this time when I start the podcast. I look up and it's 27 minutes or something. So guess what? Podcast 800 is in the books. It's done. And let me know what you think about any of those issues. Appreciate that. You can contact me at thebobdavispodcast.com or send an email through the thebobdavispodcast.com website. Thank you for the likes and the shares on social media, especially Facebook shares are important. As I mentioned, iTunes, all those different places, all 800 podcasts available at thebobdavispodcast.com. You can select an individual podcast and listen to it. They're all up there from 1B all the way up to podcast 800. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. And we're going to go forward to podcast 1000.
Let your booty do that yoga.